Hello, everyone. I'm Heidi, and you're listening to the DSG Connect podcast. I'm so happy to be here with you. We're helping elevate voices in dentistry by sharing inspiring stories straight from the dental experts. What's working, how to pivot when things go sideways, and everything in between. Wherever you find yourself listening today, thank you. Hello, everyone. This is Heidi with the DSG Connect podcast, and today we have Dr. Anthony Classy on. He is a prosthodontist and an implantologist. He practices in New York City. He focuses on restoring natural, healthy-looking smiles. He received his DMD from Fairleigh S. Dickinson Junior College of Dental Medicine. He's currently a clinical associate professor at New York University College of Dentistry in the Department of Prosthodontist and Implant Dentistry, as well as the clinical director of Full Mouth and Rehabilitation Program. He's spent over 25 years in the field of prosthodontist and general and cosmetic dentistry and restorative dentistry, and he continues to hone his skills by keeping up to date on the latest dental technology and belongs to many prestigious national associations. And his work has been featured in several peer-reviewed publications. He's a true leader in education, and we're honored to have him on today. Thank you so much. And we're also joined by John Rule, who is the director of implants for DSG, and Adam Dreyfus, and he's the director of practice solutions. Hello, gentlemen. How are you all doing today?
Very well, thank you.
Thank you, Heidi, for introducing Dr. Classy and Adam and myself. It's an honor to have Dr. Classy here. You know, the goal of these podcasts is to get a real heavy clinical discussion going on specific procedures. And Dr. Classy is a very well-trained master at some of these topics that we're going to talk about. But Heidi, if you want to kick off one of the questions first to start the dialogue with Dr. Classy, that'd be great.
Absolutely. So one of your specialties that you work on in your practice is all on four cases, and would love for you to walk us through the workflow for all on four.
Okay, great. It'd be a pleasure. I'd like to discuss a all on four workflow with a stackable guide, both for a partially edentulous and fully edentulous patients. And basically, we'll start off with the first appointment procedure. We'll start off with the partially edentulous patient first. We start the procedure with upper and lower impressions or intraoral scans of the patient. They must include all the borders and be accurate as possible, making sure there are no voids in the palate or vestibule. Next, we have to take a bite registration with a rigid bite material and centric occlusion. If they're missing teeth, we have to make occlusal rims to stabilize the bite. This is a very important step because it'll be needed later when the patient has their cone beam taken to keep their jaw position stable. Photographs are extremely important as well. We will need photos of the patient showing a full smile and profile smile, along with retracted photos and centric occlusion. Also a rest position photo so the lab can see the incisal edge position of the proposed teeth. If the patient is fully edentulous, we must first address the current status of their dentures. We need to check for stability, occlusion, VDO, and aesthetics. This is extremely important because it is from this tooth setup position that the surgical treatment plan will be created. This new denture will act as the template for the surgical plan. If the patient's denture is not satisfactory, they must be remade before starting with any surgery. Next, the patient will need to have a cone beam taken. The partially edentulous patient must use the bite registration that was taken to maintain the proper jaw alignment and occlusion during the x-ray procedure. The fully edentulous patient is scanned the same way, but with the scan markers inside the denture base. The patient must wear the dentures with the rigid bite material in place to maintain the proper occlusion and jaw position. The dentures are auto scanned outside of the mouth. This will enable the software to later merge the two images of the patient exactly due to the scan markers that were placed in the denture base. Once all the initial data is collected, we can start to plan the surgical case. The The software will allow us to do the proper bone reduction needed and to contour the ridge for the placement of the implants in an ideal flat plane. Next, the implant positions will be decided based on the ideal tooth position and bone profile. We are not concerned about the angle of the implants at this time because we will be using multi-unit abutments to correct the depth and angle of the chosen implant positions, so the screw access holes will exit out of the occlusal table of the restoration in the most ideal prosthetic position. The software will choose the correct size of the abutments for us to use, either 0, 17, or 30 degrees, along with the proper gingival height that is needed. From here, the information in the software can be sent to the lab as a file, so the lab can create the surgical and prosthetic templates that are needed, and we can proceed to the surgical appointment. So this sums up our first appointment visit with the patient. We will collect all the data and we will plan the case over the next few days on the computer and with the lab technicians.
That's great, Dr. Classy. That's very thorough, and I love how you went through the different ways to capture these diagnostic first steps. Because like we spoke about before, this is the most important process right here. Before we move on to the next steps, I'd like to ask a question, because the folks that are going to be listening here are going to be very, you know, wanting to know the details of next steps. But in your experience, what are the most common missteps that you see during these diagnostic phases? What do you end up having to correct or see most?
So what I find that the biggest missteps, prosthetically, it usually comes from dentists not being able to identify the incisal edge position of the patient's teeth before they start. And if the patients are wearing dentures, not being critical enough with the patient's existing dentures to see if they fit correctly, if they're stable, if they're canted, if the occlusion is correct, because they don't realize that all this information going forward is going to have an effect on the end result of the new teeth. And then from a surgical point, not being able to identify the interarch space, knowing if there's enough interocclusal space that is needed for the new hybrid restoration. We have to keep in mind that we need a minimum of 15 millimeters from the incisal edge of the maxillary anterior teeth to the crest of bone so that we have enough material for our final hybrid restoration. Otherwise, we're working at a minimal thickness for the material. So between the prosthetic and the surgical challenges, it's extremely important to recognize these two things before they start a case.
That's awesome. And one other addition, what are some tricks you use to capture transition lines or smile lines?
Well, one is with photographs. You know, I'll take my photographs, and what we want to look at is we want to see the transition line and the smile line. We want to look at the exposed amount of hard and soft tissue from the patient's lip line. That's why the photos are so important, so the technician can see and measure the height from the incisal edge to that lip line and see how much soft tissue is either exposed or not exposed, because it's from that measurement from the incisal edge up to the lip line and below that we need to capture our 15 millimeters and know that we have enough space.
Great tips, Dr. Classy. One other question that we always get from the lab side of things is during this diagnostic phase is lip support. It seems to be an ambiguous topic, and everybody has different philosophies on it, but what are some of the standard guidelines that you follow when you're looking at lip support along with photos?
I think we have to just, you know, continue to follow our denture setup rules to look for the amount of lip support that the anterior teeth give from phonetics, S sounds, F sounds, smiling, incisal edge position. We have to be careful when there's too much or excessive bone loss. Some of these patients may not benefit from a from an all on four or a hybrid because there's just too much bone loss to give them that lip support.
Great. That's great. All right. So let's move into, you know, these are just such very important steps, Dr. Classy, that you've mastered. And that's why your specialty is what it is. Because so many of these restorative failure, we've got two options here. You need implants to integrate, but you need to have a restoration integration as well. So that's why these are so tricky. And these points that you bring up are just top notch. So thanks for taking your time to really go through this. After the lab has gotten all the diagnostics that we're done and everybody's checked off, why don't you take us through determining the next steps, like materials and how you talk to patients, how you guide them through the next steps once you get all these diagnostic checkpoints done?
If you like, I could take you through the actual surgical procedure.
That'd be great.
So after we accumulate all this information, a lot of time is spent behind the scenes planning this on the computer. Once it's all planned, the file is sent to the laboratory where they'll, one, create the surgical stents and then also the temporary for the day of insertion. It'll take about 2 to 3 weeks for completion. At that second visit, I'm going to run through a quick review of what the surgeon will be receiving from the lab. He's going to be getting back a stackable guide that's screwed onto the bone that's very stable. This guide will act as a template for all the other guides to fit onto. This is the key to achieving a high degree of accuracy and precision because there's no movement during the surgical procedure. Next is the bone reduction guide. This guide will be placed on top of the template. This guide will allow us to perform the bone reduction of the ridge that is necessary to give us the space and the flat plane of the bone that is needed for our hybrid restoration. This is where the 15 millimeters is so important. This step is critical in the pre-planning stage so our prosthesis can have enough structural integrity while also being aesthetic. Next is the implant placement guide. This guide will aid in the surgical placement of the implants into the exact pre-planned position through the use of guide sleeves so they are placed at the exact angle and depth that they were planned on the computer. The guide will also allow us to place our predetermined multi-unit abutments so they are in the right direction for our temporary prosthesis to fit onto. This is also a critical step because if the abutments are off-indexed, the screw channel holes that were made in the temporary won't line up. The last component of the stackable guide is a seating jig so we could realign the temporary in the exact position and maintain the proper occlusion. So if you want to quickly run through the surgical appointment, the surgeon will create a flap and expose the ridge. He will remove any teeth that are present. He will place his bone-borne guide and screw it in place. Remember, this guide will act as a jig for all the other guides to fit onto. He then places his bone reduction guide and levels the ridge. Next, the implant drilling guide is seated and the implants are placed in the planned areas. Then the multi-unit abutments are placed and torqued into the implants. Healing caps are placed while the surgeon sutures the flap closed so the tissue can be reflected away from the abutments. After the surgical site is closed, we remove the healing caps and place our temporary cylinders onto the abutments. Now we can utilize a special seating jig that will engage the temp and hold it in the correct occlusal position when we are realigning the temporary. A Bisacryl resin is injected into the temporary to flow around the temporary cylinders and allow to cure in place. Once cured, it is removed and checked for any voids and filled in where needed. It is then finished and polished outside of the mouth and reinserted and torqued into place. Finally, the occlusion is checked and the patient is given post-op instructions and dismissed. So on the day of surgery, from start to finish, it's about a 3-hour appointment. We were able to do this in such a short period of time because it was meticulously planned ahead of time and we eliminated any guesswork on the day of surgery. This procedure can be done freehand and with a denture conversion, but it will take much longer and there can be some small degree of error along the way that will make it much more time consuming and incorrect.
Dr. Classy, thank you so much for sharing the step-by-step process from the surgical procedure all the way through to the patient leaving the office excited and happy. I've actually had the pleasure and the honor of being in your office while you've done these procedures and also seen your patients walk out with a smile. Yes, a little bit in pain just because of the procedure that occurred, but extremely excited and happy. Can you go over some of what you perceive as some of the benefits of the All-on-4?
Absolutely. Well, for sure, the number one benefit for the patient has to be that immediate gratification that they feel when they walk out with a beautiful and functional smile. It's now that they can eat and smile with confidence, knowing that they won't be in pain and their dentures won't move and they can eat whatever they want with confidence. It's, you know, like you said, they walk out and they're literally walking out with a smile for the first time. It brings tears to their eyes. Some other important benefits are, you know, by doing this procedure, it avoids bone grafting and sinus lift procedures, which actually reduces time and cost to the patient. The restoration also helps with their overall facial structure and lip support, like we were talking about before, and helps with their overall appearance. It could actually reduce the cost of a full arch treatment because it's done as a serial extraction case. It would require many more visits and add a lot more cost to the patient. And as you just touched on, you know, there is minimal recovery time because it's all done in one visit. They're not going under surgery multiple times to have multiple implants placed. So the healing time is really rather short for these types of cases.
That's great. Thank you so much for sharing that. In your experience with these cases, I'm sure there's been so many lessons that you've learned along the way. Can you share some of the missteps and things for other doctors to avoid?
I think that the main pitfall is, you know, don't rush into the case, and you have to diagnose the case before you start. If the patient is wearing a denture, you have to be very critical with that denture and make sure that denture looks good and fits well. If the patient is partially dentureless, you have to make sure you stabilize the occlusion before you start, and do a smile mock-up before you start to show the lab where you want the future teeth to be, so that when they design the temporary, everything will line up from the implant position and the multi-unit abutment position, so there's no guesswork in the end.
Dr. Classy, thank you for also providing some of the insights to some of the missteps that might occur. With doing these procedures, we know that there's lots of different products out there from a finishing perspective, from an aesthetic perspective that you can choose from. I would love to know what your thoughts are on the Crystal Ultra Trilor product. As we've seen it a little bit in the market now, and just want to know your take on it.
Yeah, you know, I actually happen to love this new material. I think it's going to be a real game changer. There's a lot of benefits of this material over the zirconia for screw-retained hybrid frames, I feel. One of the big points is it's 60% lighter than zirconia. Anyone that works with zirconia and you have a full-arch frame in your hand, you know how heavy it feels. So this frame being literally, you know, twice as light as zirconia, that's one big factor. People who are doing acrylic frames, it's 6 times stronger than acrylic, which is remarkable. It's also repairable chair side, so there's no oven needed. It doesn't have to be rebaked like zirconia does. Another good factor is that it has extremely low water absorption, unlike acrylic. Acrylic gets kind of nasty over time. It happens to pick up a lot of water, and that's why it gets filled with bacteria and stains and has a lot of odor to it. This material does not show that property at all. What I really like about it is we can achieve a fully monolithic occlusal table and tooth structure. And this really helps and resists chipping and breaking and making it much more stronger than just using denture teeth and acrylic. The problem we have in the past with the acrylic frames is that, you know, denture teeth will wear and then they'll debond from the acrylic frames, and we always have a problem at that tooth-acrylic interface. With the Crystal Ultra and the Trilor, it's one monolithic frame that's bonded onto the Trilor, so it makes it extremely, extremely strong. What I like about the Trilor is that it has the ability to flex a little bit. The modulus of elasticity is a material that closely resembles dentin. So this slight flex to the material acts like a shock absorber. It actually transmits up to about 60% less stress to the implants than some of the other materials that we use, like zirconia, and even some of the metals like titanium. So I feel this combination is going to be a real game changer in the long run.
So, Dr. Klasse, you and I have spent multiple, have had multiple conversations in regards to digital dentistry. Would love to know your thoughts on how digital dentistry is being perceived by your patients and where you think it's going.
So, you know, my patients are definitely embracing the digital dentistry age. It is a very powerful tool. They love to see what's happening on the screen in front of them. I use it to show them the surgical treatment planning and prosthetic design of their implant cases. I also do a lot of smile design with them, and they're amazed with the before and after results. And I think they can see how, you know, we can be much more accurate in the digital world and can be able to communicate better with our technicians. However, intraoral scanners are not a magic wand. You know, you still have to be able to prepare teeth correctly. So a scanner will not make a crown fit better if the prep design is not satisfactory. But now the clinician can now see his prep and review it and make changes if needed. This is what I think will make better dentists, the ability to interact and to visualize what the technician needs to make an awesome fitting crown. I feel it will be a powerful teaching tool going forward.
Dr. Klasse, let's discuss a few scenarios where when you're treatment planning, what are some tips and tricks you can give to the listeners of when you're treatment planning these cases? You know, they're obviously it's a clinical confidence as well as a explanation. But I think a lot of this, the magic in this comes into how we talk to, you know, you talk to a patient. And if you, you know, not to give your full playbook, but I think the audience would love to know some of the tips and tricks of how you get folks to understand what you're doing and accept treatment.
You know, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. I think a lot of it is how they perceive your confidence, the way you speak to them and address their needs, you know, never make them feel bad about their current position. It's not their fault that they come in and some of them have these horrific dental situations. And I always tell them there's a way to fix things. It's not their fault where they are now. And we could always make it better. And then from there, you know, I lay out a plan, and I always lay out more than one plan. You know, I always explain to them, you know, it's like a car. You could buy a Volkswagen, and then, you know, you could buy a Ferrari, and we could go in between, but we could always make it better, and we could continue to make it better. And that's what I'm there for. I could lay out all the options for them, and together we'll decide and we'll pick the best one that'll work the best for them at this point in time. And if we have to change it later on, we'll change it and make it better for them at that point in time. But the whole point of it is to get them from where they are now, which is a bad state, and to get them healthy. And once they feel your trust and they gain your confidence, I think that's it in a nutshell.
That's great. That was probably the most important information that you just gave out here. And what a great insight on how to approach it coming from a healthcare provider, you know? We could discuss this all day, Dr. Klasse. It's our passion. But Heidi, if you want to take it over and kind of bring up some closing final thoughts, that'd be great. But I want to say, Dr. Klasse, thank you so much for giving your snapshot, and we'd love to have you back at a future date to discuss some other topics. So thank you.
My pleasure.
And Dr. Klasse, thank you so much for joining us. We really do appreciate your time. Wanted to know if you wanted to share any thoughts that you have. I know right now we're kind of in an unprecedented time as a nation. And what are the next steps as we go through this time in for dentistry, and wanted to know if you wanted to share any final thoughts, maybe on that topic or others. We would appreciate your insight and your wisdom.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of us aren't sure where we're going right now, but we're taking steps to come together and unite and to make it safe for everybody. You know, we've always, in our office, we always upheld a high standard in a sterilization protocol and keep our office very clean. But we're taking some extra steps now. We're putting up some plexiglass barriers at the front desk to screen our patients and our office workers from one another. We're putting in maybe some extra oral evacuation units chair side to pick up some of the aerosol sprays. We're installing some air purification units. So we really don't know where this is all going, but we're trying to implement as much as possible to keep everybody safe at this point in time. And that's all we could do. And hope that everybody gets through this in a healthy way.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Where can our listeners connect with you if they should have any questions?
They could email me at classysmiles@yahoo.com.
All right. Well, gentlemen, enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. If you like today's podcast, subscribe on iTunes or Spotify. And please help us spotlight this podcast by taking a minute to review us, as well as give us a shout out on all the socials. Stay connected at dentalservices.net or by emailing us at podcast@dentalservices.net. Also, check out our webinars at dentalservices.net/edu. We believe we're stronger together. Until next time, enjoy your day.